There's a phrase that Jesus speaks five distinct times in this series of verses. It's the phrase, take no thought. You'll find it in verse 25, 27, 28, 31, and 34. Take no thought, Jesus says. Another way to say it is don't let your mind be consumed. We call this worry or anxiety. Jesus is saying, don't be worried. Don't be consumed in your mind. Don't be anxious. Now, all of us, if truth be told, have some level of anxiety. That is, there are things that we all worry about. It's our human instinct to fear, to worry, to naturally be anxious. Some of us are anxious about getting a job, while others are anxious about losing their job. Some are anxious about being lonely, and others of us are anxious about being in crowds. Some of us are anxious about being sick. Others are anxious about getting sick. Some of us are anxious about snakes. Others of us are anxious about snake killers. And isn't this the true sentiment of how anxiety works? That is, there are varying objects of our worries, but all of us are equally linked in our struggle with worry. We all worry. We all have things that we are anxious about. Just this past week, I felt an unusual, overwhelming sense of anxiety as all of our kids came down with a very severe case of a stomach bug, which has a tendency to mess with my mind, especially when it goes from one child to the second child. When it hits the second child, I start feeling very queasy. And that unsettledness, I'm not quite sure if it's because I'm catching it or if I'm just afraid that I'm going to get it. And the next thing I know, I'm asking my wife, do I feel warm to you? Or after a meal, I'm not sure if it's because I'm sick or I'm just working myself up. I don't know what's going on, and I'm afraid of getting what they have and afraid that if I get it, how it's going to hinder my routines and my plans. And so Keegan came home with it two Sundays ago, and then just a couple of days later, Kate got it, and a couple of days later, Ellie got it, and then we were supposed to get on the plane and go to New York. And so even eating the peanuts on the plane ride, I start feeling unsettled, and I'm thinking, I just don't know what's going to happen. Am I getting sick or not? You know, and we have a tendency to work ourselves up over these things because anxiety is an emotion we are all well acquainted with. And because of that, some of us even now find it difficult to live peacefully in the present because of either our experiences in the past or our apprehensions about the future. Let's think about the word anxiety for a minute, because at the heart of the word, it means to divide, to pull apart. And this not only describes for us what anxiety is, to feel divided, especially in our thoughts are consumed, our thoughts are divided. It tells us what anxiety is, but it also tells us what anxiety does. That it tears us apart, especially emotionally. Another way of putting it is that anxiety is when we are distracted by that which fuels our fears. That's what anxiety is, no matter what the objects of our worry are. We are divided. We are distracted in our minds. And at the root of our anxiety is really two things. Either one, self-centeredness. That is, most often we worry about things that if this thing I fear occurs, it's going to have a negative and an immediate impact on me, you know. It's like my anxiety over getting sick. I wasn't so much concerned about my children. I was concerned about me. And I wonder how much of the worries that we've brought into this place today, the anxieties that we feel, if we were to be quite honest, is rooted in self-centeredness. The reason we fear it, the reason why we are so worked up over it, is not because of others or the situation itself. It's because of how this is impacting me. This is why Peter, in our verse that we read at the beginning of the service in 1 Peter chapter 5, tells us to humble ourselves so that we can freely cast our anxieties on the Lord. It takes humility to overcome the self-centeredness that is often the reason why we worry so much. But not only is there self-centeredness as a root of anxiety, additionally, our anxieties can be rooted in self-reliance. Self-reliance. For example, anxiety is trying to care by myself for that which only God can do. It has to do with the desire to control things as if it all depends upon me and not on God. So there's either this issue of self-centeredness, I'm worried, I'm anxious because of how this directly and immediately impacts me, or I'm anxious and worried because of self-reliance. I'm not letting God have his rightful control because I have to be in control. And I have to manage the situation. And I, for one, find this to be extremely challenging. Because I identify greatly with Martha, whom Jesus said was distracted and worried about the work she felt needed to be done, while her sister Mary was peacefully resting at the feet of Jesus in Luke chapter 10. It wasn't that what Martha was doing was unimportant, but that she allowed it to consume her to the point of distraction and frustration. Distraction because she was in self-reliance. Jesus is in our home, and because Jesus is here, I got to cook the right meal, and everything has to be perfectly in place, and the kitchen needs to be clean, and the living room needs to be clean. Mary, what are you doing in there sitting at Jesus' feet? There is work to be done, and if I don't do it and you don't help me, well, there's self-reliance, distraction. Self-centeredness, frustration because she's getting upset with Mary because Mary's at peace in the presence of the Lord. And Martha is upset because nobody's helping her. She feels like she's all by herself. Anxious, worried, fearful. I resonate with Martha. And I have a feeling that most of you do as well. So what do we do about it? How do we confront our worries and overcome our anxieties, no matter what the causes of those anxieties are? Let me show you directly from the pages of God's Word, the Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus said is helpful in overcoming anxiety. Number one, you can find these in your notes as well as on the screen. First of all, overcoming anxiety is a matter of theology. Overcoming anxiety is a matter of theology. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye will drink, and for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, the body more than the raiment? Behold, the birds of the air, they sow not, they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your father, heavenly Father, feed them. Are you not much better than they? He goes on to say in verse 30, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Verses 25 through 34 are a direct correlation with verses 19 through 24. Jesus in the preceding verses addresses the fact that money talks. We dealt with that 2 weeks ago. That our view of money and possession says a lot about where our heart is and how our health is doing and who our master is. Jesus says directly in verse 24, look at it there in your Bibles, that ye cannot serve God and money. That you can't. It is impossible. You either serve one or the other. And now we notice that the very next word in verse 25 is the word therefore. Jesus says you cannot serve God and money. Therefore, don't be anxious. Don't be fearful. So at the heart of this talk on anxiety is how that we can so often become worried and anxious over material things. It is obviously not the only thing that brings about anxiety, but it is nonetheless the immediate context. And what Jesus says is, don't let worry consume your life. Take no thought. Take no thought. Don't let worry consume your life. Don't be anxious, verse 25, about what you're going to eat and drink. Don't be anxious about what you should wear or what you can even wear. Don't be anxious, verse 27, about how long you may or may not live, or all the way down in verse 34. Don't be anxious about what could or could not happen tomorrow. In fact, Jesus invites us to overcome any and all anxieties by, watch this, thinking. Overcome your worries and anxieties by thinking the right way. But look at verse 28. Jesus says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Say the next word out loud with me. Consider. Come on, we can all do better than that. Class, you ready? Consider. 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 Jesus is saying, think. Don't worry. Stop being so anxious. Think. You see, the basis for overcoming the worries of life is to be rooted in what we must properly think about God, not in what we happen to feel in the circumstance. And that's why our anxieties are so dangerous. It's because they are based upon our emotions. They affect our feelings. And so our thoughts are, I'm just going to feel my way through this. No. You need to think your way through this. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't feel your way through it. Think your way through it. Consider. And particularly, think theologically. That's at the heart of this. What is he telling us to consider? First of all, there in your notes, he's telling us to consider or think about our worth to God. Our worth to God. Look at verse 26. Behold, the birds of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Now here's the question to think about. Are you ready? Are ye not much better than they? I hate to disappoint the bird lovers in the room, but Jesus says that we are more important than the birds. Think about how much he loves you. That's what he's posing. Are you not better than they? I take care of the birds. Are you not better than they? Think. Why are you worried? Why are you so fearful? Why are you so anxious? Just stop and think how much you are worth to me, God says. He loves you. He cares for you. Think about what he has already done to prove your value to him. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Isn't that what Jesus is saying in Matthew 6? After all that God does for his creation and after all he has done for us, his chosen people, how can we not believe that he will take care of us through the daily troubles and worries of life? Just think about it. think about how valuable you are to God, all that he's done already for you, he's going to take care of you. 1 Peter 5:7, we're going to refer to it many times. Casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Maybe perhaps that's the message we need to go home with today. It's just to be reminded when it seems like everybody else has stopped caring, God cares even more. Perhaps you remember the children's poem, said the robin to the sparrow. I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Is it any wonder that Jesus directs our attention to his nurture of birds as a way to cause us to think about the level of his nurture toward us? In paraphrasing 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, John Phillips paraphrased it like this: you can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. Think about that. What does it mean to cast all my cares upon him because he cares for me? That is, you can throw the entire weight of your anxieties, all of your worries, you can throw it upon him. Why? Because you are his personal concern. Jesus calls us to just simply think about that. Consider, think theologically. Think about our work to God. Secondly, think about his sovereign control of all things. Think about his sovereign control of all things. Verse 26 as well as verse 30 reminds us that the God of heaven has the power to feed us and to clothe us. That the span of our life is in his hands. That he is already in our tomorrows when we haven't a clue what the next hour may bring. So we must be intentional and are thinking about the biblical truth that God is sovereignly in control of all things. This is what Jesus is calling us to consider. Think about it. God is in control of your life. Every step that you take, the Lord is ordering it for you. Don't live so anxiously. God always does what is best for his glory and for the good of his kingdom. And he uses us to accomplish that. We must rest in his control. In fact, notice the last phrase of verse 30. I think it's often been misinterpreted. Look at the question that Jesus asked them. O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. I do not believe the Lord is chiding them, as it may sound here. The Greek, in the Greek, it's not really translated this way. It's translated like this in the Greek. O ye little faiths, ye little faiths. Not ye of little faith, but ye little faiths. Jesus is not chiding them. He's no belittlement of their weakness. It's fatherly. Fatherly encouragement. It's reassurance here. He's not pointing his finger saying, what is wrong with you, you of little faith? No, it's rather he's placing his arm around them. And he's saying in a moment of worry to them, do you trust me or not? We know what this is like in parenting, right? Kids are fearful to ride that ride they've never rode before. Whatever the case may be. Keegan went on this trip with me to New York this past weekend. He's flown several times with us. But I'm going to tell you something about Keegan. Keegan argues about everything. So we're sitting there and they bring us snacks. And he's like, Daddy, did we stop? I said, no, son, we didn't stop. He said, yes, we did. I said, no, we didn't. He's like, well, they brought us the snack. They stopped to get the snacks. I said, no, they did not stop to get the snacks. They had the snacks already on the plane. Yes, they did. 30 minutes later, he's looking out the window. He's like, Daddy, we're not moving. Yes, we are, son. We're going very, very, very fast. No, we're not. We're just sitting here. We're going very, very, very slow. No, we're not, son. We're going very, very, very fast. Do you want me to get the pilot to come back here and tell you what's going on? He argues about everything. And then there are those moments, you know, when the turbulence hits or whatever, and he just kind of looks at me like, is everything okay? And while I'm trying to put my arm around him, I'm looking for somebody else to put their arm around me, you know? In a very fatherly, reassuring way, hey, we can trust those guys up there. We can trust them. They know how to drive these things. That's what the Lord's doing. Do you trust me or not? Do you trust me or not? Now, here's what I want to say, and we'll move on. To overcome our anxieties doesn't mean that we are able to inherently forget about them. Jesus is not saying don't worry about your worries. Overcoming anxiety means we're able to give them to God because we know our value to Him and we know that He is in control of all things. Ephesians 4:6, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, don't be anxious. Give it to God. Yield it to the one who is in control. And then rest. 1 Peter 5:7 again, casting all your care upon Him. He's not saying offer it to Jesus and ask Him if He wants it. No, it's a picture of your kids when they come home from school. What's the first thing they do? They take the book bag and they throw it across the room. It's the weekend. I don't want to see that thing again on Monday morning. He's saying with our anxieties, He says, throw it upon the Lord. Cast it all upon Him. Give it to Him. And then rest in the knowledge of His loving care and His sovereign control. Hey, if you want to overcome your anxieties, it is a matter of theology. Theology. Think about how much God loves you. I'll move through these other ones quickly. Number two, overcoming anxiety is a matter of testimony. It's a matter of testimony. So again, Jesus reinforces in verses 31 and 32 the principle that His people need to not be consumed with worries related to earthly matters. Look at it in verse 31. Therefore, take no thought saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Especially when we understand that our anxieties can have a negative impact on our testimony. Because He says in verse 32, for after all these things, that is what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear, these are the things that the pagans seek, the Gentiles seek, the unbelievers seek after. For one, it's unnecessary to worry about these things. It's unnecessary to worry about food and material possessions and even the span of our life because the God we claim to follow, He knows what we are in need of. Isn't that what He says in verse 32? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows you need food. He knows you need clothes. He knows you want to live. So the implication is that if we are consumed with worry, we are showing unbelievers that perhaps we think our God is not very good at what He does. In other words, it is a bad testimony when we're not thinking theologically. Secondly, it's unhealthy to worry about food, material possessions in the span of our life because this is what the pagans do. For after all these things do the Gentile seek. There seems to be a hint here about worries that go beyond necessities. It's as if Jesus is saying that our worries must not seem like the worries of the world. I'm always worried that I'm going to preach the word in such a way that you can understand it and get it. Maybe you're worried whether or not your children are going to come to Christ. I do think there is a level of worries that perhaps Jesus is not addressing here. I think what He's saying is don't let the worries that you possess be the same as the worries of this world. Because the world is so consumed with the places that they eat and the type of food that they eat and the style of clothes that they wear and what they can do to avoid an early death. You know, drink this drink, take this medicine, do this whatever. But the follower of Christ must give these things to the Lord, being thankful for the food he allows us to eat and the clothes that he has provided for us to wear and the life he has given us to enjoy, no matter how long or how little that life may be. The point is, and I'll move on, our anxieties are often the result of weak theology that as a result gives way to weak testimony. So to overcome anxiety, Jesus says we must think theologically and we must think in terms of our testimony. That when we are worried about the same things that the pagans are worried about, there is no distinction in our life. Are you with me? Pastor, we're just worried that you're going to finish before the Methodists do. That's what we're worried about this morning. Number three, overcoming anxiety is a matter of priority. Look at verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek, he says. The word seek is in the active imperative. It means that this is not a one-time proposition. We don't just seek the Lord once. No, it's to be a continual pattern. It could be said like this: keep on seeking first the kingdom of God. It's an unceasing quest. Now, what does this have to do with our anxieties? Well, everything. Because what Jesus is saying here is don't let your mind be consumed by these worries, but be consumed with the kingdom and righteousness of God. That's what you need to be consumed with. It's a reminder that our physical needs must never come before our commitment to the kingdom. Perhaps that's the greater question today. What are you consumed with? Because what you're consumed with is what you're going to be worried about. If I'm consumed with my kingdom, your anxieties will never flee. But when you are consumed with the kingdom of God, he is teaching us here that our worries will tend to be diminished. Remember, this ties directly into verses 19 through 24 when God said we must make a choice whom we are going to serve, God or money, because only one will be the priority. However, Jesus says in verse 33, when we indeed commit ourselves to being consumed with the kingdom of God, first and foremost, then much of what we worry about will be fulfilled. Look at what he says. All these things shall be added unto you. Again, I direct to what these things are. This is the food, the drink, the raiment, that which consumes us. That when we are seeking the kingdom of God first, all these things will be put into their proper place. Because when God's kingdom is first, we're not going to be so worried about where we live. When God's kingdom is first, we're not going to be so worried about how much money we make. When God's kingdom is first, we're not going to be so anxious about what health needs may arise. Because it's about his kingdom, not mine. So I'm denying myself of self-centeredness and self-reliance. I'm casting all of my anxieties upon him. And I am getting back to focusing on his kingdom, his righteousness. It's a matter of priority. Now, we may not be able to deal with the nature or causes of our anxieties, such as unemployment, illnesses, necessities. But we can certainly refuse with help from the Holy Spirit and being burdened by these things, consumed by them, when our priorities are fixed on the Lord. And here's the last one, and we're done. Number four, overcoming anxiety is a matter of theology, testimony, priority. It is a matter of visibility. Visibility. So we come to the final verse, verse 34, and Jesus not only reiterates to us for the fifth time his encouragement not to live anxiously, but he actually acknowledges the reality of this daily struggle that we have. He says, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's look at that first phrase first. Notice it. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. In other words, Jesus is saying, stop being consumed with what may happen tomorrow. because tomorrow has plenty of worries that are waiting for you to fall into. So don't get ahead of your worries, because tomorrow's coming. In fact, the future comes so fast, it comes in at 60 seconds a minute. It comes fast. And when you get to tomorrow, you'll have plenty of worries waiting for you then. So don't get ahead of yourself. It's a matter of visibility. Don't look too far ahead, especially when you're not in control of those things. Instead, look, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. This is an interesting phrase and very hard to understand, but I'm going to make it simple for you. Are you ready? Here's what Jesus was saying. Just take one day at a time. There's enough evil for today for you to be worrying about tomorrow. There's enough anxieties that cause you to be distracted today for you to already be thinking about next week. Jesus is saying what so many times in the Christian life we fail to pay attention to. One day at a time. In the church world, pastors, church growth, everyone's always asking me, what's your vision? What's your vision? What's your vision? My vision is that I'll get up in out of the bed tomorrow morning. That's my vision. And then I'll be able to open my Bible and love on my wife and be a good father to my kids and a good pastor of our church and hopefully understand the verse of scripture that I'm supposed to preach to them next Sunday. I'm just taking it literally one day at a time, and I'm letting God figure out all the rest. And perhaps it would be good for us to get back to that simplistic way of living. Jesus is saying there's enough for you to worry about today. Don't already start worrying about tomorrow. Just take one day at a time. Again, J.B. Phillips paraphrased Matthew 6:34 like this. Listen, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow can worry about itself. One day's trouble is enough for one day. This, again, is an issue of visibility, because the call is for us to focus on today, on what we can see, not on what we cannot see. For tomorrow has its own set of troubles. But here's the good news. Even then, God has promised new grace for new worries. I love Lamentations chapter 3. Let me just read a couple of verses for you there. Lamentations 3, beginning verse 23. The Lord's mercies, his compassions, they're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope. I'm going to trust in him. The Lord is good to them that wait on him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. What are you so anxious about today? What is consuming your mind that you're so worried? If you want to sleep peacefully tonight, you've got to start thinking and stop feeling. Think theologically. How much you are worth to God, how that he is in control of all things. Consider your testimony. Is your worries the same worries as the pagans? Think in terms of priority. Is the reason why your days are filled with such anxiety, is simply and honestly because God's kingdom is not first in your life? And perhaps the visibility needs to be reined in to now. What do I know that God wants me to do now? I'm going to focus on today. And whatever may come tomorrow, I'm going to trust the promises of his words that he will have sufficient grace for me to deal with whatever may come when I get up tomorrow, if I get up. So how do we deal with our anxieties? One day at a time. One day at a time. in the strength of our God, trusting God.